Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I am the preacher for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and we're the ones who bring this program every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And it's a pleasure to have you with us in the audience this morning as we continue talking about the subject, the truth of Christianity, the reality of Christianity. Before we get to the study this morning, let me take a couple of minutes here to invite you to our services at the Church of Christ. We're a group of people who are trying only to be followers of Jesus. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock at our building, which is on the south side of Gibson on Route 47. We're the first building north of the Pizza Hut. And at 9 o'clock, we'll meet for worship. And we begin our worship with Bible classes for all ages, trying to learn the teachings of Jesus. In the adult class, we are engaged in the study of the life of Christ. At 10 o'clock, our worship involves singing, praying, reading Scripture, eating the Lord's Supper, and preaching from the Bible. And in a series I'm now doing on the great themes of Matthew, this morning I'm going to talk about man's proper response to God's revelation. Religion can be reduced to two words, revelation and response. God has revealed himself, and he expects us to respond in a certain way. And so I'll be talking about the response as revealed in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and we hope you can join with us for that. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break, and then we reassemble for a second Bible class. And in this second class, we're studying from the book of Leviticus, talking about the different sacrifices that were part of the Mosaic system that prefigured, were foreshadows of the sacrifice of Christ. On Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have a midweek study. It lasts for an hour with classes for all ages. In the Wednesday night study, we're in the book of Revelation, the adult classes, and we invite you to come out and join with us for that, and to visit our website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. You can access these radio talks. You can access our sermons. You can see our Sunday bulletin. You can take Bible correspondence courses online. A great deal of information that we have put there at our website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. If you've been with me the past few weeks, I've been talking about my belief that Christianity is the only true religion. It's the only religion based on reality. And every other religion is false, based on untruth, and will be judged by God because it's not built on his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm at the point in the discussion where I'm trying to establish the following. My belief, our belief in Christ, rest on the validity of transmitting information by writing. Now let me say that again. Our belief in Christ, Christianity today, is based on the validity of transmitting information by writing. Now let me state that another way if you're having trouble understanding what I'm saying there. Let me say it this way. Our knowledge of history depends on the validity of transmitting knowledge by writing. The reason we believe that there was a king by the name of Alexander the Great, or a ruler by the name of Julius Caesar, or a crusader by the name of Richard the Lionhearted, depends upon our belief that it's possible to accurately transmit information by the written word. Everything we know about Alexander and about Julius Caesar and Richard the Lionhearted, we know on the basis of documents, on the basis of books, on the basis of writing that has come down to us. And so we believe it's possible to accurately convey information, historical fact, truth, through the written word. And if the transmitting of information by the written word isn't valid, then we need to do away with every history department in every college. We need to stop teaching history in our public schools because history is based on information that's been preserved and transmitted by writing. Now, it's possible, of course, that writing can be wrong or that writing can be misleading. And about 30 years ago, there was a notable example of this that took place. Between the years 1981 to 1983, there were 60 volumes of journals that were published in a German news magazine by the name of Stern, which is the German word for star, that purported to be Hitler diaries. And originally, even after some historians looked at these documents, they believed that they were genuine. And so this German magazine started printing them, and a English newspaper started printing some of them as well. The English paper, by the way, was owned by a fellow by the name of Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Fox News empire today. But these journals were printed in the German magazine and in the English newspaper. And while they were originally believed to be genuine, after they were subjected to rigorous forensic analysis, they were discovered to be fakes, written by a small-time con artist, an East German individual by the name of Conrad Kujau. And of course, there was a lot of egg on the face of these magazines and the newspaper that had published these as genuine. But my point is, it was possible, utilizing forensic analysis, historical tests, to determine whether these documents were genuine or not, and they were found to be frauds. In fact, a documentary has come out this year, last month, in fact, called History's Greatest Hoaxes, The Hitler Diaries. And so writing doesn't necessarily transmit truth. It's possible to transmit error and lies and myths and things just made up. And so historians have devised tests that they submit documents to. And the truth of the matter is that there is no book that has been subjected to more intense, detailed, historical forensic analysis than the Bible. And not only that, there is no book that has a greater reliability after the tests have been administered than the Bible. Now let me say those two things again, because you need to understand that this is the case. There is no book that's been tested, checked, examined, scrutinized more than the Bible, and there is no book that grades out higher as a result of these tests than the Bible. The Bible gets an A+. It's not like the Bible gets a D and everything else gets a D-. No, the Bible, after these tests have been applied, gets an A. Now, God has used the two means by which information, communication, is transmitted to reveal His Word. There are two ways by which we transmit information. Think of a pitcher and a catcher. A pitcher transmits the ball. The catcher receives the ball. And so we transmit, we communicate, either by speaking or by writing. When we speak, people have to listen. When we write, people have to read. God has spoken, and God has transmitted information by writing. And our belief is that the Bible is the written word, the written documents of God's revelation to man. And so we've been talking about the tests that are applied to written documents to determine if they're valid, if they're genuine. And I've been talking about the bibliographical test, where we look at the number of manuscripts that exist for an ancient document, the time interval between the writing of the document, the autograph, and the earliest surviving manuscript, and whether the manuscripts agree with one another, whether there is internal consistency. And so I'm wanting to continue that discussion this morning by going through these historical tests. And the first test I want us to look at is, how early is the testimony that we have concerning Jesus? When were the books that tell about Him written? You know, the earlier the source, the more accurate the testimony. That's just an axiom that everybody accepts and agrees with. If I was asked this morning to explain what I did last Monday, I could probably come up with a pretty good idea, pretty accurate account of what I did last Monday. But if in a year from now you ask me what I did last Monday, beyond telling you that, well, I lived through the day, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you anything. You know, the farther removed we are from an incident, the more difficult it is to be accurate in our thinking or in our description of the incident. And so one of the things we want to know is, how early are the documents that tell us about the life of Christ? And in answer, let me say that the documents about Christ were written no later than 100 AD. Now, Christ lived from about zero. You know, history, our calendars are dated from the birth of Christ. And so we're going to say from zero to about 33. Christ lived about 33 years. Now, there were some mistakes made with the Gregorian calendar, and it's now thought that Jesus, based on our current calendar, was probably born about the year 4 or 3 BC and died about the year 29 AD, but that's irrelevant to our discussion. Christ lived the first 33 years of the first century. And we know that every early source, original source about him was written prior to 100 AD. Within 70 years of his life. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that because there are three early writers. Clement, who wrote from Rome about the year 95 AD. Ignatius, who wrote from Smyrna, which was a town in what would today be Western Turkey, about the year 107 AD. And Polycarp, who also wrote from Smyrna, about the year 110 AD. So here are three writers whose writings have survived to the present, who all wrote right around the year 100 AD. And the three of them together, quote, 25 of 27 New Testament books. Clement quotes 11, Ignatius quotes 24, Polycarp quotes 18. And so we can say, for the most part, that the very latest date for the writing in the New Testament was 100 AD. But even more than that, we can say that most of the New Testament books almost certainly were written prior to 70 AD, within 40 years of the life of Christ. Now, why can we back most of the New Testament up to within 40 years of the life of Christ? Well, we can do so because of Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. He was a medical doctor. He was a companion, a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And Luke is very detailed in his writing. In fact, when you go through the book of Acts, there are at least 84 details that he mentions in the book of Acts, events, locations, etc., that have been historically confirmed. He's never been proven wrong in a single detail that he gives us. And so Luke was a very accurate writer. And in the book of Acts, Luke tells us about the martyrdom of two Christians, Stephen and the Apostle James. But Luke says nothing about the martyrdom of Paul or James, the brother of Jesus, who is mentioned in Acts chapter 15. Now, we know that Paul died before the end of Nero's reign. Clement is the one who tells us that. Nero committed suicide in 68 AD. We know from Josephus that James, the brother of Jesus, was killed by the Jewish Sanhedrin in 62 AD. And so Luke, who is very careful to mention things like this, doesn't mention the deaths of James in 62 AD or Paul, who died sometime before 68 AD. Now, when the book of Acts ends, Paul's still alive. And there may have been some books that he wrote after the ending of the book of Acts, but most of his books were written before the ending of the book of Acts. And so when you take into account that most of the letters of Paul and the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts were written prior to 68 AD, you've pushed a great chunk of the New Testament to within 30 or 40 years of the life of Christ. And that's very significant when it comes to historical documents. Now, my time is gone, so I've got to stop here, and I'll try to resummarize at the start of next week's program what we've been talking about. But let me close by thanking you for listening in with this coming week and the Festival of Thanksgiving, which is probably my favorite holiday. I hope you're with family and loved ones, and it's just a joyful experience. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on the Way of Truth.